Welcome to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. I am your host, Zane C. Weber, and around the table with me tonight, I have my co-hosts...
Kristen Barros.
And...
Miranda Selwood.
And our special guest today is our sometimes host...
Julie Eisendrager.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, guys.
What musical do you want to talk about, Julie?
You can choose.
Please, anything you like. We've done some research.
I was thinking Le Nozze di Figaro. Does that count as a musical?
No, because I haven't researched it.
Okay. No.
Well, what if we did Waitress instead?
Oh, that would be perfect.
That is the answer I wanted. But before we get on to that, we have a couple other things we have to do.
Dun dun dun.
Watch first. Strip poker on a podcast, that's going to be entertaining, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's all about the reaction, you see. You have to do it as provocatively. No, but we another get-to-know-you activity is the guest quiz, Julie.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Do the quiz time. We're judging you for your answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point.
I've only prepared 5 of these answers already, and I'm pretty sure there's only 5 questions, so...
Ooh, I've got 6.
Are they the same questions?
No. Mystery question. All right, throw them at me.
Okay, which musical character would other people compare you to?
Sorry.
Okay, everyone calm down.
She said throw it at her. I had a marshmallow in my hand.
I'm going to eat it.
I now have like white marshmallow stuff all over.
Just answer the question,
okay.
Julie.
I would potentially say... Mama Morton.
Potentially?
Chicago.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Matron. Mama.
Matron.
Morton.
Morton.
In the Australian version, yes. Which has got the Australian accent.
Matron.
Mama.
Mama.
Morton.
Morton.
You really got to drop that T into the end.
Morton.
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 Mm.
Morton.
Mm.
Well, which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Oh, that is definitely the one that I missed.
Matron. Mama. No? Okay.
That's a very, very hard question. Would you like other people to compare you to?
Yeah.
Who are you on the inside, Julie?
Yeah.
Pretty much the same person I'm on the outside.
Oh.
So maybe Smitty then from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Smitty!
From How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Because that's pretty much just me anyway.
I had the pleasure of seeing you play yourself in that show.
Thank you.
It's very good. Yes. Yeah, delightful shoes.
They're all mine. You can borrow them.
Ooh.
Wait, I want to borrow the shoes.
They don't fit you, darling.
No, they won't. Okay, what is your dream role?
Eva Perón.
Eva Perón.
Eva Perón.
Eva.
Well, hopefully someone comes on and we can talk about Evita at some point.
That sounds like
a premonition.
It's in the schedule. We'll see if it comes to pass. Now, a controversial question.
Oh, yeah?
That's a serious face,
Zane. Which one am I up to? Yes.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Oh, okay. Not the controversial question I thought you were going to ask.
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Do you like pies?
It's dark and delicious. I do like pies, which is why I chose Waitress. Guys, I really only watch musicals based on the ratio of pies I have in them.
Yeah. I mean,
it's all starting to make sense.
It's probably another one that I would like to people who think I was maybe not like people I was thinking just. I was like, but
do you dream
face.
About
what is Lady Face's name?
Mrs. Lovett?
Thank you,
Nellie.
Mrs. Lovett. Yeah,
Lovett.
I feel like I embody her a little bit sometimes. Mostly just at work.
You could. You're not very... I don't see you as very vulnerable, but I think you could play that.
Do you dream about baking people into pies?
Yes.
Yeah, well then, there we go. Yeah.
Do you roll pastry in rhythm?
Actually, I do, yes. Yeah. How do you roll pastry without a beat?
Like, I don't know.
Do you have a thing for barbers?
No.
Well.
Only because my granddad was one and
This is awkward.
Yeah. To get us out of an awkward position, what's your favourite shower song?
Okay, so kind of awkward to be a shower song, given the situation you're in when you're singing a shower song. Mm. But
Wet?
Wow! Now you made it so much worse. I'm considering changing my shower song.
Only
how
out
bad
of context.
That is. Bring on the men.
Yes.
That is amazing.
No, of course.
Yeah, thanks for that, Zane.
You're welcome. I live to serve.
Okay.
Let's move on. Yeah.
So now for the truly
controversial 2.0.
Yeah. If you have to delete one musical from existence, which one is it?
Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh,
wow, I wasn't expecting that answer.
That was out of left field.
Mm, why?
Because people call it an opera all the time and it is definitely not one.
It's just because it's got opera in the name and it's set in an opera.
Me.
Crazy.
So it's not the show that bothers you, it's people's perception
the
of the show.
Also bothers me.
It's just if the show didn't exist, then this issue this with people's vernacular wouldn't exist and I wouldn't be
I
a crazy person.
I can't delete the people, so I might as well delete the show.
Problem solved.
You know what, it would actually be easier to delete the people.
Only
one
in real
by
life.
One, baked into pies. Here goes Julie. Julie's opening a pie shop, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't go.
Or do if you're into that. All right. Yeah. Well, that's been our Get to Know You guest quiz.
Congratulations, Julie. You made it through the quiz.
Hooray! Yay! Now you're one of us.
What's my score? Did I get an A?
Three.
A three.
Out of six?
Out of three.
Three out of three. They were all just half marks.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fair enough. So before we get into the meat of the musical... Waitress.
No, they're not meat pasta. You're so
she
curious.
Does put meat in some
they're
of them.
Fruit what? Pies.
Only
aren't
one. Yeah. Only one. Pies? Only one she puts meat in.
It's a quiche with ham.
A quiche is not a pie.
Oh,
somebody
a pie.
Somebody just needs saying. To go to
they
the
also call pizza
land
a pie.
And, yeah, no. And just explain to them some things. You can't just call anything that's round a pie.
Silly.
Well, before we get to that, I'm sure we'll cover all these culinary-based quips that we have with
yes.
it. We have some Broadway news. We want to talk about.
Do we?
Yeah.
Broadway. Well, give us the news about Broadway.
Can you do that every week?
I can do it every week. It'll be a slightly different song every week because I'll never remember what just happened.
We definitely need this much sugar in us before every show, yes.
Yeah. So go to our Patreon, give us some money to.
Buy
for us
sugar.
To buy marshmallows to eat.
Yeah, so Miranda can throw marshmallows at me and like stain my jacket with
it didn't go to waste, Kristen.
I ate it.
Mandy Patinkin was announced to be taking the role of Pierre in The Great Comet.
He did.
Wasn't somebody else already cast as Pierre in The Great Comet?
Well, yes, Oak, who had previously come out of Hamilton, but he was only in there for 9 weeks as they tried to find another replacement for Josh Groban, who was.
How many people have been cast in this role?
Well, he was the lead, and then his contract ended, and they couldn't find someone else to take it on long term. So they put Oak in for 9 weeks, and then they announced Mandy Patinkin cutting Oak's time short. And so some people had an issue with that, and there was a social media uproar about. They kind of got racial with it.
I'm confused about a role that is suitable for Josh Groban, Oak, and Mandy Patinkin. I don't think I can think of anything that links all of them as like, yes, that is the same character type.
Well, it's kind of cast in the same way that Hamilton was in very open casting, like race meant nothing, age meant less than it usually would. It was this kind of generic man role.
Your singing style doesn't matter. Well, like
I guess it is because they were looking for a new headliner to kind of lead the show.
Yeah.
So they were looking for someone to put a spin on it, like Josh Groban would have and like Mandy Patinkin would have. Yeah.
Very different spin.
Very yeah, different
spin.
I'm
not really entirely sure if I want to see this show.
Well,
that's the problem. That's the they think.
I don't think you have to worry about it coming to Australia.
Well, ticket sales dropped once Josh Groban left.
Yeah.
So they were trying to find someone.
They were panicking.
To, yeah.
And now, like, one of the producers has come out and said, well, we don't know if the show will continue if Mandy doesn't do it. And Mandy said he's not doing it.
In the fastest possible terms that you can,
yeah.
What is the show? What's the show about?
I haven't seen it. All I know mostly about it is the staging. It's very, it's kind of based around the orchestra on stage. It's kind of a very stylistic musical.
Mm.
I don't know a lot about the plot. Maybe someone will come on and we'll focus on it. But no, so I don't actually know a lot about the plot or what's required of the lead male, Pierre.
No.
But
the set kind of looks like Lefties.
Yeah.
Like music hall-y.
I was going to say Lefties.
On Caxton Street, everyone. You need a
Brisbane
location.
Yeah, for all of our international listeners.
So he, following along with his reputation for pulling out of things at a moment's notice, has done that again after there was petitions from...
a very busy man.
Well, yes, and he's at a point in his career where he can kind of make these declarations and just have them followed.
I'd love to get to that point in my career where I do what I want to do, what I want to do. And
you're
nothing
not
more
there yet?
Or nothing... Good point.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so that was a controversy. It was kind of announced one day and then announced that he wasn't doing it the next after some controversy. So you could... The only reason I'm bringing it up is because I posted about it on the Facebook page because I was excited that Patinkin was going back to Broadway, but you know,
but he not.
He's not.
He tricked everyone.
No.
No. Oh
no. So we'll see if they can get a Josh Groban back to fill it in.
Mm.
Okay.
Maybe Michael Bublé will do it.
Yeah, maybe. Michael.
Maybe he will.
Bublé is definitely the next choice after Mandy Patinkin.
Or maybe Zac Efron will.
Zac Efron might. You know.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay, let's talk about the history of Waitress.
Tell us about the history of Waitress.
I can do that. Mm. So it is a musical based on a film that came out in about 2007. I had listened to Waitress, the musical, like the music of it, before I had seen the film. I then went and watched the film and wondered what it was about that film that might have drawn people to create a musical about it. Like I didn't... get it.
I mean, it's a very simple story, so that's maybe that's what they were looking for. And it is also very feminist.
Yeah, it's very feminist, actually, this musical, like in the best way.
Yeah.
So music and lyrics are by Sarah Bareilles and a book by Jesse Nilsson.
Where do we know Sarah from?
Sarah Bareilles, just from life in general. She's a singer, she's a songwriter. But where do we know her from?
Where do we know her from? She's just a recording artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she kind of was attached to this to write the songs.
Mm. She is amazing. Anyway, so the musical tells the story of Jenna Hunterson. We can cover that later. The stage rights to the film were actually purchased the same year the film came out. So Snatched it right up. 2007, and then the musical's creative team wasn't assembled until 2013.
That's a long time to be holding on to them.
Just think about it.
Yeah. It's almost
just waiting
seven
for
years.
The right Sarah to come along.
But the movie was independent, so there wasn't kind of like they weren't clamoring to get the rights back or anything. So I think they had time.
Yeah.
The original production of Waitress premiered at the American Repertory Theatre in Cambridge. In August, I can't say words, don't look at me. In August 2015, with direction by Diane Paulus and choreography by Chase Brock. It respectively made its Broadway debut at the Brooks Atkins Theatre in April 2016. So it has kind of moved pretty quickly from where its roots started to being on Broadway, and it's still currently on Broadway at the moment.
Yeah.
But it has a US tour scheduled for later this year. It had a limited run. So it had a very limited run in Massachusetts before the official opening.
The out-of-town?
The out-of-town
tryout.
Before,
I feel like we're still talking about 42nd Street.
Before it had its, like, big Broadway gig. Let's chat about awards.
Tony.
It's won a few. I'm just trying to find my awards page. Here's my awards page. Dun, dun, dun. So, nominated for a lot of Tonys, however, in 2016, majority of the Tonys went to Dear Evan Hansen. They tried.
What can
they,
you do?
They gave it a good hard go. So, they did manage to win a Drama Desk Award. Christopher
they did manage to win an award.
They managed to slip one in there.
Wow.
It's always sad when a really great show's come up against each other, and particularly when one of them just wipes the field.
Yeah.
And really great shows miss out on, you know, being able to splash 14 billion Tony Awards across their poster.
I feel that it's also a little bit of a snub that the award went to featured actor in a musical rather than actress.
Yeah.
In a musical that has so many women and so many really great women roles.
Female roles. Yeah. It went to feature actor in a musical, Christopher Fitzgerald. Actually, weirdly enough, he is the only person to have won awards for everything they've been nominated for. He's also won the Outer Critics Circle Award, Outstanding Featured Actor.
Yeah.
So everyone else has had nominations and the musical itself had nominations. But, yeah, Christopher, weirdly enough, the dude of the show.
Well,
the
others must have been good.
He's not even the main dude.
No.
Yeah, interesting.
But also you got to look at the field.
Yeah.
So it's probably more just that the other categories got beaten out.
Has the opposite problem with lots of strong male leads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know.
Curious.
Mm.
So during the previews, the production set a record for a single performance at the Brooks Atkins Theatre, taking so many numbers, so little time. 145,532. The production had required an initial investment of $12 million. During a technical halt at preview performance, the composer and lyricist Sarah Bareilles performed two songs, including two previously cut from the production called Down at the Diner. So Sarah Bareilles still has a very strong connection to this musical, and I'm sure someone will cover that very shortly as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that she just hopped like up at intermission. I was like, guys, I'm sorry you've been sitting here for so long. Here's some behind the scenes footage and here's a little preview of The Little Mermaid that we're going to record in a couple of days. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, she also recorded the put your phones away message that plays at the start of it.
Yeah,
but she recorded one of her songs made for that.
That's so good. So,
I think she's very chilled about something that is actually very great.
Yeah.
So she's so chill about this show, and it's a really good show.
Well, I think that's great though.
Yeah. That is great. Like how many
she's just doing what she does. Yeah. She's not gonna have a parade about it.
Yeah, exactly. And all you see there's heaps of photos of her being brought up on stage and thanked by the cast, and a lot of the interviews that I read said that she was very involved in the whole process, as well as the original writer of the movie.
That's awesome.
Extra little tidbit.
Ooh.
Except I'm not sure if anyone else is covering this tidbit.
Do it.
Who has pies?
Oh, I have pies on my agenda. I've got so many foods.
I will leave those pies on your agenda.
All right. But like chime in if I miss any.
Okay, I'll chime in if you miss the pies.
So Julie, why do you like this musical so much?
I like this musical because it has a very classic musical sound. Not an old classic musical sound, but just a very contemporary classic musical sound, but
it's an interesting mix of the old, like, classic formula with a more contemporary sound without making it sound like pop music.
Yeah,
that's
which
exactly
is a really
right.
fine line.
Well, listening through it, I heard a little bit of like doo-wop, like a lot of close female
welcome
harmony
to
coming through.
Club Knocked Up is very doo-wop.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed the sound of the show, but visually as well, they do some really interesting things. Like the band is on stage the entire time in the diner.
I love to see the musicians.
Me too.
So
I
mean, good.
See shows that I've directed, the band is always on stage. Yeah.
And then the way they move things in and out, like it's all very seen and all very smooth, and it's a nice way to kind of put an old stylish kind of musical into a new context without making it too contemporary and too pop soundy and all that kind of stuff. So I just really enjoyed the fact that we've got something now that, you know, students can come to me and say, hey, Miss Julie, I want to learn this song. And I'm like, sure, because it's not a pop song in any way, shape or form. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Excellent. Well, if that's all the history we've got, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Sounds like
queen.
A plan.
Okay, I'm going to talk about what happens in the show.
What is the show about? One of the most important parts of a musical.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this show's about a waitress.
What?
I know, surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, she likes to bake pies. So she's a classic unhappy with her life character.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the show, we see her starting to, bake. Her signature pies.
Oh, I thought
and she's
you meant her makeup.
Singing about it. And then they open the store. It's very exciting. But basically, it's the story of this waitress, Jenna, who's in an unhappy marriage to her husband, who she accidentally falls pregnant to. So she's going to have a baby with her husband,
uh-oh,
which is like the worst news ever.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like him. Or being him, right?
Yeah, I think it's been over for a while.
Right.
You get that vibe,
right? The touch yelly.
And yelly?
Snacky, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or
well, you, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that, I think.
Oh, yeah. We will. So she falls in love with and has an affair with her baby doctor, as you do when you're pregnant.
Your baby daddy
doctor.
Dad. And then everything wraps up in the end. That's pretty much it.
Does she have a baby or?
Yeah, she does have the baby. There's a whole ballet about it, which is really just a song.
And then some of the other waitresses have other sexual indiscretions.
Ooh. There's a lot of affairs going on here, but I think really that's more of a comment on people's relationships and what they need out of relationships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel like a lot of the story is about. And addresses. So Jenna has two other waitresses that she works with who also feature quite heavily in the story. One who has a little side story about going on a first date that's a blind date, not a blind person date, as they point out, but someone who she hasn't seen before. And something else we were talking about. What was that other show that had the blind date in it?
I was just...
Oh, test too. Episode. Never mind. If you'd like to know what I'm talking about, please be a Patreon and you'll get to hear that. Yeah.
Yes.
And so this woman and her blind date, they are the majority of the comic relief.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're pretty much... And they're the happy story, really, in the scenario.
Yeah.
So it's two people who meet an insecure woman, meets a man who likes her and is nice to her. Happy stories all around, right?
That is what we're looking for.
Slightly, intensely creepy.
Yes.
Slightly but. Intensely creepy. Like that's how
he sings the song called
Slightly Intensely Creepy.
You'll never get away yeah, from me.
You'll never get away from me is
but
him.
It is okay. A catchy song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Forgive him.
Well, that's the thing. When he's singing it, you don't say, oh, you're like, oh.
Yeah, you're not unhappy about it.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're a creeper, but we love you.
Oh, it's like you're desperate just like she is. Because she kind of sings the inverse of that right. Before that. Like,
that's
yeah.
True.
Yeah, she's yeah. True. What if he hates me? What if he hates everything yeah. About me? What if he sees me and runs away? And then the exact opposite happens.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm never letting you leave me.
So that is, let me get it right, Oggy. Dawn. Is it Dawn?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dawn, the insecure waitress, looking for love, finds Ogi and eventually he convinces her that they're meant to be together, which is in a nice way, not in a horrid way.
And just through persistence.
They do eventually get married. We get their wedding in the second act, which is lovely. The other waitress that she works with, Becky, has an affair with the boss, which everyone finds out about later, and there's a little bit of judgment going on. And it's like, well, you can't judge me because you're dating your baby doctor, and it's all a bit weird. Yeah.
Don't you throw your rocks at me.
No, absolutely. There's a couple of other characters we meet, including Cal is the boss. I'm going to get this right. It's all very confused in my notes, obviously. But Joe is the owner of the diner. He turns out to be a lovely old man.
Oh, he's kind of a crotchety old man who turns out to be kind-hearted.
He turns out to be very kind-hearted and very, very kind-hearted toward the end, which I won't spoil. I feel like we...
Yeah,
we don't
need to spoil.
Spoil? Well, he comes through spoilers. With the goods in the end. Yeah. Spoiler alert. It turns out to be quite an unwell old man. Yeah. And when Jenna is giving birth in the hospital at the end, he passes on and leaves her the diner. And so her happy ending is she gets to restart the diner as her pie shop in a very non-Mrs. Lovett way.
Yes. well, at least we see.
A legitimate pie shop.
And restarts her life, which is really nice.
But we never
we'll come back to her
husband.
In a minute. And, of course, we meet Dr. Jim
Pomata.
I watched the movie today to get
right. Good job. So Jenna and the doctor meet in the course of her baby doctor appointments. He's the replacement doctor. He's not the usual doctor who she's used to seeing. So it's a bit of a thrown together situation. They recognise early on that it's a bad idea that they should let anything happen, but it ends up happening in the end anyway. Eventually the marriage breaks down and Jenna's left giving birth to her child. She has the doctor but basically says, look, I need to just, no, let's cool it, cool the heels. And now that she gets the diner in the end and she restarts her life and there's a couple of really touching moments throughout the show where we see the transition of her dreams, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So early on she's wanting to leave her husband Cal and the other girls point out that there's this competition for baking, so she's going to go to this, make a fantastic pie. She's going to win some prize money.
Yep.
She's going to leave her husband and use the money to start a new life.
Classic pie making story.
Classic. The pregnancy and the affair and everything else sort of happens in the middle. And that little scenario doesn't work out. But I think what she ends up with in the end is actually far more satisfying.
Yeah. It's a fairy tale.
It is.
Yeah.
I think to play Jenna would be a particularly tough gig.
Absolutely.
Well, all those variations on the pregnant belly suit.
it's not
costume changes,
back.
It's just belly changes. Yeah.
I think she's such a, like, she starts off relatively vulnerable, but her journey is incredible by the end of the show.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
where she goes and what happens in the end is just you like, oh.
You see her grow in strength and confidence and, you know, she's a good role model in the way that she deals with the situations toward the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier on, it's... Yeah.
She makes some poor choices.
Yeah, a few poor choices.
It is very genuinely one of the only musicals I've ever actually cried at the end.
Oh, Julie.
Yeah.
Oh, Julie.
I was just a bit, one of those. A bit teary.
Because it is... It has a lot of, like, it's sad but positive at the same time. It's like the double tearjerker.
Yeah. And it's an unexpected choice, I think. You don't expect her to make the choices that she makes at the very end and you're like, oh.
Why can't she just run away with the doctor and be happy?
I think the ending is that the switch around of the regular fairy tale is that you don't need to be married, to be happy. So she leaves her husband, she stops having an affair, and the doctor is also having an affair. That's why
they run off in the end. Going on.
Yes.
So it's like she can be happy by herself, and mm-hmm. that is her happy ending with her daughter and her pie shop. So I think that is why it's such a great story in that it I'm trying to...
The predictable
denies
story.
Your expectations.
The predictable story would have been that, you know, it was all about going to the pie competition and
winning
and therefore deserving her new life.
Mm. And then the doctor
but she does,
leaving his wife.
She makes these choices that you expect, you know, a terrible person would make, like having an affair and while she's pregnant with... Yeah. Like, why would she not want her husband's child? And like all of these sort of...
But they do a really good
way.
But
natural
job.
Positions for a woman to find herself in, and it doesn't make you a bad person. And I think that's what
and
we
at no
see
point
in the end.
You really feel angry towards her either.
No, you
don't
like
ever
her.
Feel like,
no.
Oh my
she's
god,
so lovely,
so
the whole
lovely.
Time. Yeah. So
they do a good job of setting up that her relationship with her husband is not a positive one.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, no redeeming features.
No.
But he's
also not a raging criminal.
Yes. Yeah.
No. You don't hate him either, really. You know, I never felt like, oh, my God, he's the worst person in the world. You're just
in
like,
the
oh.
movie, I did.
In the movie,
because
that's
he's
true.
Freaking terrible.
He's really nasty.
Do you
really
see
nasty.
More of him
yes,
in that,
and he's much yellier and just kind of like as soon as he's in this, like he's in the car and he's like, okay, tell me that you missed me. Tell me what you did today.
Right.
Ask me what I did today and pretend that you mean it. Like that whole, it was
super,
The musical handles it a lot better than the movie did, at least for my sensibility.
Well, the story isn't really about him.
No.
And the story isn't really about her relationship with him either.
No.
It's sort of a side note to her journey.
And that's one of the great things it does as well. It's like the men are only seen through the prism of the women.
Yeah.
Rather than the usual, which is the opposite, where the women are only ever seen through the prism of the male characters.
Does this show pass the Bechdel test?
Absolutely it does, But.
Sorry, that's the sound of three women just sitting with their mouths open.
Yeah. Just being like, what?
I mean, it does a few times. They have two women talking about something that isn't a man and isn't related, but
it's mostly pies, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, pies and children, mothers and daughters, those are the things that they're talking about. So, but it does a good job of talking about her, what she's going through these other women.
Yeah.
So it's really a nice, tight narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I really appreciate in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
It helps. Written beautifully.
It is.
All right. Well, that's about all of the mess of the plot that I have to talk about. I could have done it in a linear fashion, but I feel like that was just, you know.
It's not
too predictable.
Musical.
Too predictable.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be predictable. I wanted to go for the waitress version, which is just like shit everywhere. No, that's not right. I take that back. Cut that.
All right. Let's move on. Okay, well, you can't have a musical without music. So what? Let's talk.
It could, but then
would it be a play?
Is there one?
A play?
They did do the deaf version of Spring Awakening.
Awakening.
Did that have music?
But it still had music. Yes. They just sung in sign language, which I think is beautiful. Yeah, I think everything.
It was highly acclaimed. Let's talk about this show, though.
Yeah, what are we talking about? Waitress.
This show. So, again, is the original score written by Sarah Bareilles, American singer-songwriter, and six-member orchestra, keyboard, piano, cello, guitar, bass, and drums.
Six? That's quite small.
One of these things is not like the others.
Cello?
Yeah.
Yeah. The yellow cello. You've got to have those romantic moments. So I've gone through and I've...
I'm doing the cello.
Miranda Selwood, mainly a cello.
Hashtag mainly a cello.
So I've gone through, I've marked my favourites.
Ooh.
There's only four. Favorite but songs. They are the ones that you would want to be your favorites.
Yeah.
So oh, let's be. Yeah, all right.
Is one of them the sugar, flour, butter, sugar. Ice cream cake song?
Yes.
I don't think there was ice cream in it. I made that up.
There is now.
I really love the opening and closing of all the acts.
Yeah. I was confused by the opening because there was one person singing and then she seemed to be singing
over the top of herself.
Yeah. I was like, how do they do this? Like in the show? Very confused.
All right, so it opens up. So at any time, if you want to talk about a particular song, just jump in and talk
I do.
Fully intend to.
What's Inside by Jenny and Company. That's the first
opening
one.
Opening number.
That's the opening number. So that is one of my favourites. It's just so pretty. I think that sets the tone for the rest of the musical. It's just really pretty music.
Yes.
Mm. There isn't like a lot of... Even Earl's song is not... an ugly song.
No.
And I think, like, when I first listened to it, I wanted it to be ugly because I didn't know that he was a dick. Yeah. And I wanted the music to tell me that.
Language warning.
Yeah. Well, no, that's fine.
Not really.
Okay. Then opening up, which is Jenna, Becky, Dawn and Cal and the pretty much
opening
everyone.
Up.
Which is lots of fun. I think that's... Yeah.
I think it... Like, very nicely summarizes what a day in hospitality is like. Where you're like, yes.
Yes, how are you?
I'm smiling through gritted teeth.
The negative, which is the finding out the...
This is my favourite.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
I think it's closest to the classic musical theatre sound.
Yeah. It is.
In the whole score, which is more my thing. Than the modern show. So maybe that's why I pick up on that. But also I love to hear three women singing a funny song about wanting to not be pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It is. Well, I think that can maybe appear on our top five lists.
Yeah. I didn't think about any of those.
What Baking Can Do, Jenna and the Company. Club Knocked Up, which is...
I really like Club Knocked Up.
That's really fun.
It's Bobby. It's not always in the stage version.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What?
The version I saw did not have Club Knocked Up. They did a musical version of it and then just transitioned straight into the doctor's office. I was like,
where's my song?
Where's my song?
Put it back.
I wonder why that is.
It could potentially be because of the way that I saw it. It could potentially be that. It is now in the musical, but the version I saw potentially wasn't in there at that time. Mm.
Sad face.
Pomada Pie, which is not on the recording.
And it's musical.
Yes.
It is on the recording, it's just musical.
Is it?
It's on my recording, yes.
It's not in mine.
Google music.
When He Sees Me, that's Dawn's song.
I love it.
That's the one where she's freaking out.
I love it. So hardcore.
That is both. I don't like Oggy's song as much as this one just because it's creepier. Whereas hers is just charming.
Yeah.
So this is lots of fun. It Only Takes a Taste, which is Dr. Pomada and Jenna talking about pies and metaphors.
Yes.
guys, you just ruined my world. I'd not really thought about the metaphor till just now.
What?
Are you kidding me?
You of all people?
Like, I had, but, like, No, no, very genuinely. I
what?
Heard,
Julie, I heard, bring it's so on obvious. The men, Eisenträger. Has you not know? Thought about the metaphor.
Are you sure? No. Well, I but did. If I did, but I very quickly dismissed it. I was just like, it's a song about pies.
Yeah, that song, despite being lyrically about pies, has got nothing to do with pies.
I just like to think that her pies are so nice. Like, I don't want
they are good, yeah. Obviously.
Yes, but now you're ruined.
So we'd be like, Julie, his priorities have pies, men, everything else.
A little bit.
Takes pies seriously.
Takes pies
I seriously. Do take pies seriously. Oh, that's so gross.
You will still be mine. By Earl,
oh, that's it is Earlinger. Weirdly sweet, isn't it?
There's a really interesting musical thing in there where his part of the song, because this is a song he used to sing to her when they were very much in love, right? Mm. I'm not thinking of the wrong one.
No,
right?
This is the one.
Yeah. And so when he's singing it, he can't quite remember, oh, what's that bit of the lyric? And then she sings that next phrase and it's got this crushy little chord in it and hers sound. Just that one line sounds so much sadder than the rest of the song.
It might be just because I've recently watched the movie. That bit really struck me as kind of harking back to him putting words in her mouth and him saying, I don't know what that is. How did that go? Tell me how that... And then she brings it in like... And yeah, that...
Well, I haven't seen the film, so I didn't hear it like that. But... just the way that musically that was written, that one phrase that she sings, it's just that little change really in the effective. In the tone.
And in the lyric, like it goes from being kind of okay to being like,
okay. In the musical, it's a little bit more innocent than it is in the movie. So
it sounds that way as well.
It really is more like it's not her decision, but her feelings are having fallen out of love with this man completely, rather than him being that, you know, mean,
controlling
person. It's more just like they have drifted so far. Mm. And then I think it really comes out in that particular bit of music that you're talking about, where it's just very clear that it's her, she's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty.
I enjoy a good bit of music, like somebody who's used
music
the theory of music to tell a story.
And for Sarah Bareilles to have not written a musical before, it's nice to hear that come through too.
Yeah.
Like that's
well, that's somebody who's a songwriter and who understands how to use notes and intervals and chords to create
a story.
Storytelling, emotion.
Which is
feelings.
Something we find in this musical, which I don't want to poo-poo another musical, but I didn't find in Cyndi Lauper's Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Whereas, it was very much just kind of a series of pop songs rather than a story told through music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can talk about that show at another time.
Hopefully.
Maybe one day.
Maybe we'll get Cyndi Lauper on.
Stay tuned.
Sorry, Cyndi. So then we have our Somewhere That's Green, A Soft Place to Land with Jenna.
Hang on, no.
I was about to be like, hang on.
What? Yeah. Wrong show. Wrong,
No. This is the Somewhere That's Green song in this musical. Oh, right. A Soft Place to Land with Jenny, Becky and Dawn.
Yeah.
Never Getting Rid of Me, which is Oggy's declaration of love.
Weird, creepy.
But no, seriously, the most catchy downbeat you'll ever hear.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they get married, so it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
He's not entirely a creeper. He's just mostly a creeper.
And then another one of my favourites, Bad Idea.
So addictive.
Jenna and Dr. Pomata.
I legitimately listen to this song on repeat.
Just checking, Julie. Bad Idea is not about eating too much pie.
Or it is, metaphorically.
Yeah, it's metaphorical pie. They're talking about...
Yeah, no, guys, I got this one.
Okay.
It's pretty self-explanatory. I'm so disappointed.
The other one was pretty self-explanatory.
I know it is. I just choose to not see the dirty side of that song.
A week from now.
Yeah, but that's surprising.
Well, so Zane forgives the puns in Urinetown. Yeah. Julie ignores the double entendre.
Okay, so we do like allow ourselves to go against our normal personality.
So that's the end of Act 1, and Act 2 opens up with I Didn't Plan It, Becky, and that's where they're talking about the affair.
She's talking about her affair with the boss. Yeah. Whoopsie.
And then we have Bad Idea Reprise with everyone in.
Everyone's doing something they should be.
You Matter to Me with Dr. Bamata and Jenna.
That's really a beautiful song.
Yeah. See, all of these are really just, they're all just really pretty.
Yeah.
And originally I was against it because it was all so pretty. But then when you look at the story and what it's trying to tell, like it's saying that life is pretty even though things are bad. So I kind of forgive it now.
And you look at each song as an individual song as well, and you're like, damn, that's a good song.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. They're not same songs. It's just it didn't, like, go, like, dark in tone anywhere, and that's something you usually find, which is another point of difference about this musical.
Well, not for entire songs. There are, like, I think there are moments, like, lines in duets and stuff.
But there's no, like, villain.
No, villain it's not song like...
ominous foreboding song. I Love You Like a Table by Ogie Dawn and the Company. This is Ogie's spontaneous poetry at their wedding. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yep.
Take It From an Old Man, which is Joe's song. It is something that always gets me in musicals is this the cross-generational feelings of pride and kind of passing torches on.
Yeah.
That's a theme that always gets me.
This is what's the one in Guys and Dolls?
It's something about grandfather.
The More I Cannot Wish You.
Yeah, More I Cannot Wish You. That's right.
Same sentiment. Completely different situation.
Yeah. Dear Baby, Jenna.
Mostly spoken.
She Used to Be Mine, Jenna.
That song.
Yeah.
Good audition song.
Now everyone's going to use it. So now it's no longer a good audition song.
Ruined it for everyone.
I take it back. Contraction Ballet, amazing audition song.
Just breathing. Just show how
just
well
Lamar's
you can breathe.
Breathing.
So after Contraction Ballet, everything changes with Jenna, Becky, Dawn and company. And then finishing up with Opening Up.
Is that also a euphemism, guys?
Maybe, but that's for you to find out, Julie, when you re-listen to the soundtrack.
Opening up.
Oh, wow.
What I like about these songs is that there isn't anything I would skip on the soundtrack.
No, absolutely not.
I actually used to skip one song.
Is it the old man song?
It is the old man song. I used to skip it, but now I listen to it because I kind of have a soft spot for him.
Yeah. Maybe Contraction Ballet.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, maybe. Contraction Ballet as well.
I just like the full experience of the show.
Well, we all just can't be as
I
good
can't.
All right, well, shall we move on to cast and things?
I guess
let's
do it.
After that musical interlude, we are talking about production elements and cast of Waitress. It's me, KB. I'm taking you through this.
And we're not
everyone
talking
else
to you at all.
So I started looking at production photos of the show because I was like, it's in a diner. How are they going to do this? But everything is so lovely. Like, it's so nice. You go inside the diner, it's all wooden and... It's set up like an act, like I would eat there. Like I'd go up on stage and be like, can I have a cheeseburger? Yeah, woohoo. Or a pie. And it's all neon lights and very 50s feel to it. And nothing's very elaborate once you get into the hospital, but it's I like it. And I like that the curtain and the, what's it going to call it, of the arch.
The proscenium?
Yeah, but is that like, is there a frame of the proscenium? Like,
I'm not sure.
What is that called, guys? That's a question for you to answer, listeners. When you walk in, it's a pie and then the curtain goes up and that the pastry around it is still stays there. So all this is happening within this pie. And it's all within a beautiful pie and it's like awesome. Speaking of pies, this is probably my favorite element of the show. So when the show moved to Broadway, they brought on a Manhattan baker called Stacey Donnelly and Dawn Mayo, who owns everything Dawn Bakery, Candles and Treats. And they had very specific, yes, very specific rules. So Donnelly was hired to make sure that when baking occurred in the show that it looked realistic, because Jenna has to like crack eggs and sift flours and roll pie dough as if she knows what she's doing. Yeah. So that was Stacey Donnelly's role, is to come in and help with that. And then Everything Dawn Bakery Candles and Treats was brought in to create the props, so all the prop pies look like actual pies. I really wish that they were actual pies.
Yeah, and you
like
just give them to the audience.
Yeah. Ooh. Well,
it's risky.
It's risky. I mean, you'd have to replace
when Julie's
these.
Playing.
Yeah, yeah.
But to help, it's a quite an immersive experience, Waitress the Musical. So when you walk in, there are actual pies, like the aroma of pies baking and warming in the theatre as if it's a real pie shop, and then slices of the pie are on sale so you can sit in this amazing like scent of pies.
Oh, good. So they do that.
Yeah.
So effectively, it's amazing. They bake pies and you can eat them.
Yeah. And that's so cool, because who doesn't love food and the smell of food? No one.
Like, that's so much better than a pre-show wine.
Absolutely.
I would have pre-show pie any day. And I mean actual pie, guys. You're all filthy.
A production of Sweeney in London that the same thing. They served pie.
No. Yeah. I don't want to eat pie.
They put the production on in a pie shop.
Yeah.
The whole show was in a pie
shop. I think that's so cool.
Guys.
I think because people walk in then and their imagination and their senses are immediately activated, so they kind of leave the...
We might have to contact Yatla Pies and see if they'll let us do a version of Sweeney Todd.
Be in Yatla Pies. A show at Brisbane Arts actually a couple of years ago did that. It was about the dude who put... an ad in the newspaper for someone to eat, the cannibal
show. Yes,
they were cooking, the smell of cooking you walked into, and then by the end of it, that smell made you physically ill because you're like, oh, that's a human being. Anyway, what I also, the most, probably the most talked about production element of Waitress is the fact that once it hit Broadway, you had the four top creative spots, so music and lyrics, a writer, choreography and direction were all women, and that has never happened on Broadway before. But not only that, costume design and musical direction were also roles taken by women, and that's awesome.
It's so surprising that 2016, that hasn't happened before now.
No, no, I know. That's six, for the four top creative spots not being women before is surprising.
Yeah.
But this show is so female heavy that it's nice to have happened now, and then we didn't have to wait any longer.
Yay. Well, didn't win a Tony, did it?
Look, nice. Baby steps, Zane. You can't have everything all at once. So cast wise. You have Jessie Mueller in the role of Jenna, the lead. She started out in the workshop in 2004 and took it all the way to Broadway. She didn't change. She has left the show now, and Sarah Bareilles actually took over for a couple of months until Betsy Wolfe came on board last month. So
that would have been interesting to see.
Yeah. How cool would that have been? Like, she played April, May. She played it for 3 months.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I swore she only played it for June.
No, March. Ooh. From March 31st to the middle of June. And I think Betsy Wolfe is incredible, so it would be really interesting to also see
you
her.
You can
in her
see
role.
A little transition video between.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's all on the Waitress Facebook page, but there is a little transition video between Sarah Bareilles and Betsy.
That's awesome. And that's the other thing, like whenever whenever I Googled the show, that was something that came up constantly, is that this is a transmedia kind of experience where you can watch the movie, you can see the musical. Sarah Bareilles released a separate album other than the cast recording with the music of her just singing it. And Instagram and Facebook is such a big part of the way that they tell this story too, behind the scenes and giving all the information, which is just, you know, 2017, kicking all the goals. Drew, I'm going to get this wrong, So if you're listening, I'm so sorry. Gayling?
I think it's Gayling.
Gayling. He took over from Bryce Pinkham for the out-of-town showing and the
original Broadway cast.
That's quite nice. That's a nice note.
He's quite good. There was something. He's done a lot more TV recently, so he was in Smash and Elementary and stuff. So it's nice to see him do his thing.
Which thing do we like seeing him do?
The stage,
just
TV.
The stage thing, the singing thing. He has a pretty voice. Hey, Drew. Other cast members that have stayed on from the very beginning are Kayla Settle, again, if I've said that wrong, I'm really sorry, who plays Becky, Dakin, Matthews, who plays Joe, and Eric Anderson, who plays Cal. They've all been there from the very beginning. And it's interesting because Lulu, who I'm assuming is the daughter.
Yes, yeah.
Because I couldn't...
Lulu is the name of the baby Lulu's, she has.
Yeah. So that was not a character. That wasn't a character that you saw in the workshop. That came in for the out of town. And the girls who are playing that baby now are twins, whereas the two before that were not related at all. Yeah.
So I think she just comes in for the last...
A little bit. Yeah. The end. Which one was that? Who am I looking at? I've lost my...
Which one
notes.
On the soundtrack notes. Is the one that sounds like the one the woman you get when you can't get Kristen Chenoweth?
Kimiko Glenn?
Yeah.
Yes. Now,
yeah,
Kimiko, she left the show to do Orange is the New Black. And Jenna Oshkowitz from Glee came in and took over that role for a while. And then when it was very... very sure that Kimiko wasn't going to come back, they replaced her completely. So Jenna is no longer playing the role. She just got a little snippet of it. And now Caitlin Houlihan has taken over that one.
She's really good.
That's kind of it. Drew has left the show now. He's no longer playing the Doctor.
What a jerk.
Sorry.
He's very sad.
He's only just
recently left. It's only been a month, guys. Yeah. It's okay.
Is he the one who won the award, though?
No, the guy who won the award was Christopher Fitzgerald. He plays Oggy. Ogie. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. So he did the workshop and he was in the original Broadway cast, but he took a little break for the out of town. Mm. So it was interesting that he is the one that has won all the awards because he had a little moment where he did something
else.
Well,
maybe he just had other things to do.
Yeah.
Then.
Laundry.
Maybe a show or two.
Maybe.
But you have like three very strong women who have taken the role of Jenna, though. Like Jessie Mueller is fantastic. I love her voice. With Sarah Bareilles and Betsy Wolfe, it's going to be interesting to see who plays her next, I think.
Me. I'm doing it.
What? Really? Miranda?
I know. Awesome. Exclusive announcement here, guys.
Guys, you heard it here first. How exciting.
No, they don't know. It's a total lie.
Okay, well, let's cut it there and we'll move on to Dreamcast, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, who would be the best in this musical? Dreamcast. I do have a little note mostly for Miranda here.
Yeah.
In the movie, Dr. Pamata
was
played by Nathan Fillion.
Oh, wow. Okay,
really?
Yeah.
Wow, let's get him on Broadway.
Yeah. In that role, though?
I don't know, in any role. He can have whatever he wants.
He might have graduated to a cowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a bit old for Dr. Pamata now.
Yeah.
It's okay, Nathan.
Holy poop. What? I was like, I just need to Google the show because I don't remember the name of the lead, but I want this particular person to play Dr. Pamata. And I was like, okay, hang on, I'll just Google the show. I was like, okay, Firefly, who was the lead guy in that?
The guy from the movie.
Is it Nathan Fillion?
It's Nathan Fillion, ladies and gentlemen. But I did just find, in doing so, who I think would be a good Ogie, potentially.
Who, Julie?
Alan
Tudyk. Tudyk.
Not one, but two?
Not even joking, Julie.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can I just say the best thing that Alan Tudyk has ever done, side note to podcast, is that horrid movie with Sandra Bullock in it where she goes to, it's called like 90 Days or something, no, not that many days. Oh, she goes to a rehab place.
It's like 48. 28 days.
28 days. That's it. 28 days. Yep. She goes to a rehab place. And he is another patient he plays the role of. He's not actually a patient.
Sorry, coincidentally, he was a patient there at the time. It's
when they were filming. And he does some really amazing work.
He's got an accent. Very impressive.
It's great. And he goes on this rant about spoons and forks and salad forks and stuff. It's fantastic. Get that movie out, fast forward the whole thing, and just stop at the parts where he's talking to the camera. It's fantastic.
Okay. It's not irredeemable, that movie. But anyway, Sandra Bullock is Jenna.
No. What is wrong with you?
I really like Sandra Bullock.
Not I don't mind Sandra Bullock.
In a fully singing role.
Why not? Let's give her a chance to.
No, she might be amazing.
I don't think she can. I think she's come out and said she can't sing.
Have we really not learned our lesson of late? Don't just hire famous people to play roles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes they just can't sing. They have to be auto-tuned until they sound like a robot.
I am a robot singing a song.
Oh, yeah, well, we've got Tudyk for Ogie. Jenna, we need a Jenna.
See, that's the hardest one to do.
I think, I like all the women I who like already people, played
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, I'm in love with Jessie Mueller.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
I haven't heard Sarah Bareilles do it and I haven't heard Wolf do it.
No.
Yeah, I think Jessie was the right pick for that casting.
Yeah.
A dream cast. No,
I
don't
know.
I don't know. The women who could do it. Let's see. Maybe
you?
I'm not old enough.
Oh. Who's to say how old Jenna really has to be? You can be unhappy.
Isn't there a lyric that's like.
Julie wants to do it.
He sings something about a woman baking pies that I used to know that was 40 and she has a.
No, that's more he's never intentionally saying you're old.
Right.
He's saying, no, I'm sorry, you remind me of the kindness of that woman, not of the wrinkles.
Yeah.
Who used to bake pies?
No, pies. No, pies. It was just about pies.
Was it, Julie? Was it?
He said he couldn't afford them and she gave it to him.
Okay. All right.
Jesse, I can't go past Jesse.
If we can't cast Jenna... There's just one question we have to answer.
Where would Zac Efron fit in this cast?
It has to be.
Doctor. Hands down, doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor now takes his shirt off.
He does all consultations in just the lab coat.
Guys, we've thought about this. That was never a question that needed to be asked.
This whole segment is just going to become, which role is Zac Efron?
I have a new way of introducing Zac Efron for next week, guys. It's okay. It'll be
early on.
I
was actually thinking that maybe he could be Earl. I would like to see him play a villain.
Not yet, though.
Yeah, well,
why not yet?
I think he's too young to play a villain husband where they get sick of the marriage. Like, what, they've been married a year? Like, you know?
Earl's a bit of a non-event in the show, too. And, you know, we need him on the poster, right?
All right.
Yeah, I'm Zach
gonna,
sells
I'm just
tickets.
Put it out on the table. I am not so much a fan of putting Zac Efron in every show.
Why, Zane?
Because I've seen High School Musical, you guys.
Yeah, but that's okay. That was just the beginning.
I haven't seen High School Musical, so it's not tainted for me. The first musical I saw him in was Hairspray, and I thought he did a dandy job.
All right. Fine and dandy job.
But in all honesty, I would really like to see Aaron Tveit in the role of the Doctor.
Oh, yeah. I can see him.
Go to Google.
Vibrato. So much vibrato.
Aaron Tveit?
Yes. I spelled it wrong.
He's in
everything.
Almost literally everything.
Hang on.
Mainly because he hasn't been in this one yet, but also... I think, like, Catch Me If You Can, those kind of roles that he's done might allow him to segue into it.
He is deliciously handsome.
not that the doctor has to be deliciously handsome,
well,
but it
honestly,
does have.
Like,
there has to be something there, though.
Don't want him to look like a dog. Like, it's not going to work.
Excuse me, some dogs are very attractive.
Yeah.
Have you seen my dog?
Sorry, Tui. You're very pretty.
Thank you.
All right. I think that does us for casting.
Kristen, I'm going to put Kristen Chenoweth yeah. in the Kristen Chenoweth role.
That's only a little bit too old to play that role. Doesn't matter.
No. She's ageless.
Well, she is ageless.
She could play either of them. She could play Becky as well.
She could play both of them at the same time.
No, she hasn't got the guts for Becky, I don't think. Like, literally has not got the guts.
Okay, if you're putting it that way, I think
you got to give us fat girls some roles, okay?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I was actually going to say, like, this musical, more than pretty much most other musicals, you don't have...
There's not necessarily a type.
A type for any of the cast.
Apart from pregnant.
But pregnant can be prosthetic.
Pregnant. And I look pregnant every
day. It's also various stages of pregnancy, so it's not like that has to be a prerequisite.
Well, obviously, if you're pregnant, you probably couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Okay. Does that mean that we're done with casting?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay. What top five list does this music call? Belonging.
This music.
Don't worry.
Call.
I caught it. No one noticed.
Top five musicals about pies. I've done it.
Whoa.
Top I can five. Only think of two.
Yep.
There you go.
There we go. So it has to be the top five.
Top five musicals about pregnancies.
Oh,
wanted and unwanted.
Comes up a lot.
Yeah.
I would say it's in the top five though.
Yeah,
it's very good.
I would say so.
It's very heavily focused on one pregnancy.
Yep.
It's kind of the whole show is about.
Top five shows with a female production team or creative team.
Well,
only show with a female creative team.
For now.
For now.
Broadway, you're on notice. Wow.
Fill out our list, Broadway. Do it now.
Top five musicals set in southern USA?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When I was thinking, I couldn't think of that many others.
Oklahoma.
All Shook Up.
Carousel, potentially. Like, where really is that?
I don't know.
Geography.
Yeah, let's
put
it in geography.
You can tell by accents.
Oh.
Ow.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to, add it to the list.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll let you have it.
Top five musicals with a birth scene.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this might be the only one.
Wow. Yeah. Top it's five musicals with a contraction ballet.
Wicked has a birth scene.
Oh, no. Yes. Wicked does have a birth scene.
Strictly Ballroom. No. Matilda.
Matilda has a birth.
Does Matilda have a birth?
Yes. At the very beginning.
I know.
Where she's like, I don't want to be here. I want to be a dance competition. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, well,
and then this one. Oh, I'm desperate to find two more now.
Way more.
Wow. Right.
That was me rubbing my hand along the table, just so everyone knows, in case you heard that in the background.
Smooth cover, Miranda.
Just.
Shut up, Julie.
Just for Julie. Top five musicals with baked goods as plot points / metaphors.
Yeah. It's okay, Julie. It's okay.
Because there are a few that use... bread as metaphors, but they're not great. And they're not sex metaphors, Julie. They're not all terrible.
What's smart?
Top five musicals where women don't just talk about men.
Top five musicals that pass the Bechdel test.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a few songs where she solely talks about a man, but that's okay.
Yeah. That's fine. That's like okay. You're allowed to talk about relationships, but
never.
I don't think there is a scene where two men talk to each other.
What?
No, there is not at all.
I don't think two men
talk to each other the whole musical.
No.
I don't even think
Joe or Cal talk to each
other. No, and they were. There would be the two if you had to pick.
Mm.
Mm.
So, yeah, so there's
cool.
that.
Nice.
I can't think of another musical that does that.
I mean, unless, like, two members of the ensemble have screwed this up for us, but...
Hey, how ensemble, dare they? You don't
stop
count.
Talking to
if
each other.
If you're rhubarbing, it doesn't count.
If you're rhubarbing.
All right, well, are we out?
I think that's pretty good.
That's a good list.
Good list. Good on you, Atrix.
Well, that's well the done. Best one we've done so far. Congratulations, guys.
Yes,
top
team.
Top five lists by us.
This is the fifth, so yeah.
If you're thinking... But we're only up to episode 3. Mm. Be a Patreon.
Yes.
There you go. It only costs $1 a month. $1.
And you get to hear two glorious episodes that were the first ones we ever recorded.
And I'm not going to lie, they're very good episodes.
They're not bad. They're not they're edited, not bad. But they're not bad.
Mm. They're not edited.
They're funny. I think they're funny.
They're long. You certainly get value to money.
I hazard a guess that this one's longer. Okay, title question, ladies.
Mm. Yes.
What lessons has this musical taught us?
Pies are made from butter, sugar, and flour.
Flour.
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
Oh, was it?
Oh, so crap. Many et cetera.
No wonder that's not working out for me. I'm like, geez, this cake was just like, oh, meh.
Sorry, I didn't catch any of that. What was that?
Oh, geez. No, it's fine.
Well, okay, so to paraphrase one of the last songs, women are in turns messy, kind, lonely, reckless, scared and strong, and that's good.
That's okay, guys.
Yes. No, that's good. Like, yeah. This is what this musical's about.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah, women, you learned that, yeah. Did you?
Yes, queens.
Because I don't think you learned it by heart. I could see you reading it from the screen.
I learned this and wrote it down to study for later.
Oh, yeah, good.
Because I'm a student of life, Miranda.
Wow. Very nice. That was very nicely put.
Well done, Zane. Snaps for Zane.
Yeah. Yay. Zane's Julie, come on now. No, we don't need to look.
Just
because
I didn't give you snaps, now you're all mean to me.
What did you learn from Waitress Julie?
Yeah. I learned that you can be pregnant and people will still find you hot.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Did you also learn about metaphors?
Maybe.
I wish you were taking a photo of yourself right now.
I think I learned that it's okay to go after what you want outside of the expectations that you think people have of you, so you don't have to stay married to the person you don't like. And
yeah.
If you want to be a baker, then go ahead and do it, guys. I give you permission.
It was
no worries, Miranda. I know you've been sitting there waiting.
I just want to bake.
It's okay.
Miranda does make a very nice cherry pie.
Guys, stop.
Next time.
Miranda. I should have made it for this.
You should have.
I don't need to know anything about this.
That's not a metaphor. I'm talking about an actual pie that I make.
Yeah, but then
a
I
cherry
have to
pie.
Taste your cherry pie. And then everyone's up in arms about it.
It's an actual pie, Julie. We're talking about actual pie.
Yeah, in this instance, pie's not a metaphor.
Julie's learned nothing.
What's
from
a pie?
Okay, all right. So I've learned, and I hope Broadway has learned, that a musical in which the men only exist to serve the female characters can succeed.
Yes.
On Broadway.
Yeah. And then
and same for all female production team.
Mm-hmm.
Can succeed and make money and be a very good musical.
Yeah. And that little independent feature film might turn into something really awesome.
Well, that's the thing. It was made for a budget of 1.5. Internationally, it made something like 30 million.
That's so amazing.
The film itself was very successful.
You
as
do
well.
Your thing, guys.
I feel bad I haven't seen it now.
Make those stories. Me either.
You should watch
Movie
it.
Night.
It's not terrible.
Mainly
say the musical's
I want to watch
better.
It now because Nathan Fillion's in it.
It's yeah, he's like the best part of it though.
Oh.
The musical is better. I think the musical tells a much more
a better
concise
telling
the story.
You feel better too at the end of the musical than you do at the end of the movie. At the end of the movie you just kind of feel a bit empty.
The movie's a bit gritty.
Oh.
Yeah. Just a little indie features.
It's not
huh?
Yeah.
It's not what else should we learn? Yeah. Lessons.
Maybe that singer-songwriters should get more involved in the
well, we
writing.
Have seen a little bit of move into that with, like, Tim Minchin and Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like Tim's rocking
well,
it.
Well, Elton John's been in it forever.
Forever.
He's so. Been in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we're just seeing the next wave of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for joining us for another episode, all our loyal listeners.
You guys are the best.
You guys better be loyal.
Well, look, Julie, let's not attack them yet.
It's only episode 3, Julie.
Not
I expect loyalty from all
well, okay, names. Well, good. If you want to show your loyalty with money... We do have a Patreon account where mm-hmm. you can go to support us. We have only got one goal up there now, which is some live shows once we get to 300 patrons. Ooh. But we will keep on adding them as patrons keep on coming. So that's all on you, listeners. If you want to find out our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/MTMEIK. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/musicalsteachme. You can find us on Twitter at musicalsteachme. And you can go to our home on the web, that's not canon productions.com /MTMEIK.
Oh, I was going to argue that one.
It's musicals taught me everything I know, but just the first letters of all those words. So yeah. If you're trying to figure it out.
Or you just go to that's not canon productions.com and the links are literally everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally.
Click everywhere where it's got bright, shiny Broadway lights.
Also, if you are listening to us on iTunes, we would love you to give us a rating and a review. That really helps the algorithms to get iTunes to push us out there so we get more people listening.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great.
If we had, like, for the third episode, if we had at least, three people listening?
Yeah!
Yes.
Well, I'll probably be listening, so that's one.
I intend to listen.
There we go, two.
So we have at least four, because if I listen...
Oh, I'm not going
to. Okay, well, then that's three. We've got our three.
Excellent. So next week we have a special guest with us, which is KB.
That's me!
That's you!
She's going to be here again?
What?
She's going to be here again.
No way!
And we'll see you then.
Bye!
Bye, everyone! Bye, everyone.